take your Bibles and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Thank you. Just a short message. And I've entitled it, How Shall We Meet the Lord? How shall we meet the Lord? Do you know how you're going to meet the Lord? How shall we meet the Lord? And 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 16 to 18, it reads, For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, with those dead people, all right, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. A lot of people are scared about this. We're supposed to comfort one another with these words. So let's pray and ask the Lord to help us to be get what we can out of this short message tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to look into your word, Lord, and to be comforted by your word, Lord, that you're in control of everything, Lord. We don't understand how these things work out and when it's all going to happen, Lord, but we know that you do. You're in control, and we pray, Lord, as we fellowship together tonight and fellowship with you, Lord, in your word, that your Holy Spirit would teach us things, Lord, and assure us, Lord, that whatever happens, as we're with you, Lord, you're in control and everything will work out in the end. In Jesus' name, amen. In reality, the difference between a believer experiencing physical death or the rapture is mainly one of process and timing. Barring some accident resulting in early death or the onset of some terminal illness, normally, in our country anyway, a person can hope to die of old age. Despite that, though, none of us know exactly how or when we will die, but we can all expect it. Amen. It's appointed once for man to die, so we are told in Hebrews 9:27. But for some people, death will be a peaceful, natural process, with close family all around wishing them bon voyage as they drift off into whatever lies beyond. That's what most people hope for. You want to hope for a peaceful death? I do. But it's not what everyone experiences. I imagine just about everyone who could be considered relatively normal would have their own nightmare, thinking about ways that they pray won't be the manner of their transition from mortality to immortality. Okay, before I was saved, I used to have these kinds of thoughts. Like, for instance, after recklessly joining my former wild young mates, daring each other to jump off the Cooktown Wharf in the middle of the night on a hot summer night for a bit of a cool swim. We used to jump off the wharf in the night time. I never ever got eaten by a shark or a crocodile, but the possibility was always there. And it was only when I got away on my own, away from the distraction of my mates, those friends, you know, that get you into strife, the thoughts of being crocodile or shark bait kept me awake at night. I'd start thinking of, you know, I did some things there today, it's stupid, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I'm still here. Whichever way we are going to die, and whether we like it or not, one thing is certain, we are told, and that is, we won't be escaping it. As the old saying goes, nothing is more certain than death. At a later date, somebody changed that saying to death and taxes. There's nothing more certain than death and taxes. But I know which one people fear the most out of death and taxes, okay? The certainty of taxes doesn't strike fear into the heart of people as much as... However, for Christians there's something else we can look forward to. Something else we can consider that the unbeliever can't. And that's the rapture. And then, praise the Lord. The rapture is an entirely different process. Like death, the timing of the rapture is uncertain. Physical death, we don't know when we're going to die, if we die physically. Well, we don't know about the rapture either. It could happen at any time, but unlike the uncertain timing of physical death or the rapture, the process of the rapture is certain and something to be looked forward to. The process. Not the timing, the process. As we've read in our opening scripture, 1 Thessalonians, at the rapture, the Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout, and then those who have already gone, had to go through the process of physical death, are risen from the dead. They're raised from the dead. Then we who are still living, and who have never died physically, are suddenly caught up, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air. On the way up, our bodies are transformed. never having gone through the process of death in the first place. And it'll happen in the twinkling of an eye. So don't think you're going to, oh, watch how this, my skin will go nice and smooth again and hair will start growing back. No, it's going to be poof, a twinkling of an eye. There are many Christians alive today who are terminally ill. Some of them have even been given an approximate idea of how much longer they have to live. But even they have no more idea of the day or the hour of their death than anybody else has of the day of the rapture. Nobody knows. Nobody really knows when they're going to die, unless you've been sentenced to death to hang at a certain hour tonight, or been in firing squad or something like that. But even then, exact time, nobody knows. Suppose we knew exactly on what day we would die and at what time, or that we knew definitely of the exact time of the rapture. How would our behaviour change? Would we become more spiritual? Would we pray more, read our Bibles more, witness more? Would we be more Colossians 3 minded, where we are told in verses 1 and 2, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things that are above, not on things on the earth. If we knew the rapture was going to happen, or we were going to die in a week, we'd probably be more heavenly minded than earthly minded, wouldn't we? Yeah. Or it's going to happen 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. Wow, hang on. I better be thinking about God. We would probably try to be more of all these things, and our behavioural changes would be sincere enough, but in reality, perhaps they would only be as genuine as the action of a person who never locks his door to keep his house secure, suddenly springing into action and locking them because he heard that there's been some burglaries going on in the neighbourhood. The change hasn't been brought about by a sincere change of heart, but rather out of fear. He's scared. Might I just mention that Colleen and I went to bed the other night. We weren't scared. We didn't know we'd left the front door open. We slept like babies all night. I got up in the morning, 5 o'clock, to go and take my push bike out and go for my ride down to the Esplanade and go for a walk. And the door, pulled the curtain, the door's open. Ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is bliss. Anyhow, this bloke, the change hasn't been brought about by a sincere change of heart, but rather out of fear. Once the burglars are caught, that bloke would more than likely just go back to his old habit of leaving his house unsecured. You think he would? The Lord had something to say about this careless attitude of some of his followers when he told his disciples in Luke, have a look at this, Luke chapter 12, verses 39 and 40. There are people like that. Only get into action when they know there's something going to happen. Luke chapter 12, verses 39 and 14 says, Jesus speaking, he says, and know this, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. We don't know when he's coming. So be ready. Alright? Be ready. So we don't know exactly when we will die, if that's what's in store for us. And we don't know exactly when the rapture will occur either. And we don't know these things for exactly the same reasons. As we've mentioned, in certain circumstances, some people might know approximately when they might die. They can certainly know when it is close, and even at the doors. And the Lord Jesus says that we Christians can also know approximately when the rapture will happen. When it is close, even at the doors. In Mark 13, 28 and 29, the Lord tells us, now learn the parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So ye, in like manner, when ye shall see these things come to pass, know that it is nigh, even at the doors. So we see things today. We did a series of studies on the fig tree generation. Wow. Things are... The fig tree, the generation that saw the fig tree, Colleen's 70 in December. She's classic fig tree generation, born the same year that the fig tree blossomed, just after it. All right? So 70 years is already up for the fig tree. It's already had its 70th anniversary. But the generation that saw that happen, not all those people will die before the Lord comes back. The rapture has to take place But 7 years later, the Lord comes back. So it's not talking about the rapture. We've got shorter time. We've got 7 years less to take into consideration. 7 years before the Lord returns, the rapture takes place. Amen. So it could happen at any time. Any time. Are you ready? Are you ready? Know that it is nigh, even at the doors. Unlike when I was young and foolish, swimming in shark and crocodile-infested rivers in the dark even, as I grow older, even exceeding the 80 years that the Lord so graciously and mercifully allots us, and as I realise that I am in the summer of my life, summer is here, and at any time from here on in I could be called home by the Lord, I don't get paranoid or fearful about it. But that recognition of its nearness inspires me to take a little bit more care of myself physically and make the most of the time that is left doing things of eternal value. You young people think, there's plenty of time left. Don't have to worry too much. But when you get to my age, and Andy keeps reminding me, I've gone past 2 years past the 80 years and 10. Hang on, I'm on borrowed time. The Lord says, if you get over 70 years by your own strength, which only prolonging the agony and the strife you might get into, you better off to come home to be with me. So time is running out, you see. So I think I need to be doing things, make sure that I'm right with God, and what I'm doing now is of eternal value, because I'm running out of time, and so are you people, because the rapture is near. You're running out of time to make something of your lives for God. Alright? And you know what? The older I get, the more inspired I become about, let's do something for God. Forget about going to the movies or that sort of rubbish. Let's do something for God. As with death, we can also know when the rapture is near, even at the doors. And that knowledge should inspire us to preach the word, giving the warning and telling all our friends. But it shouldn't inspire us to empty our bank account, sell our house or quit our job and go and sit on top of a hill somewhere and just sit and wait and wait and wait. Not funny, some people do. Some people do. The rapture, what's his name, that silly pastor in America? 3 times he's prophesied when the rapture happened. And all his congregation sold all their stuff and they go and sit on this hill and wait for the Lord to, they get on a high hill somewhere, waiting for the Lord to come back, and he doesn't come back. They all come back to their church, the same church. They all end up back at the same church. I don't know why, but anyhow, in Luke 19:11-13, the Lord was wanting to bring a bit of a correction to his disciples. Have a look at this too, please. Luke chapter 19, 11 to 13. We don't just go and sit and wait on top of a hill, all right? The Lord was wanting to bring a bit of a correction to his disciples' faulty thinking about this sort of thing. Luke 19:11-13 says, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear, the disciples thought, this kingdom of God's coming now. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. He's going to go away, but he's going to come back. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, what did he say? Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. We are to occupy until he comes. Now, when you say occupy, it doesn't mean just sit on the top of the hill. We've got to do things, amen? We are to occupy this land that we are only passing through until he comes. So the Lord tells us, not sit and wait. We are to be planning our individual futures as though we could count on our full 80 years and 10. All right? Or even 80 years and 10. But we are to live out our lives in the same way we would if we knew the Lord was coming tomorrow. However many years we get, we are supposed to live our life like he's coming tomorrow. Ready. Ready. In Titus 2:11-13, we are reminded, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to live soberly. Not, doesn't mean not having a drink of beer. It means having sobriety of our lives and what we do and what we think, all right? Be sober. Sober-minded. Righteously. We're supposed to be living righteously and godly in this present world. Looking for that blessed hope, the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We are told to be looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever might be our circumstances at the time of His arrival for us, whether we're alive or dead, in a grave somewhere, but until He does arrive, we are to be busy about doing whatever it is the Lord has called us to do. Praise God. That's what we're supposed to be doing. How and when shall we meet the Lord? That was the question, the name of my house. How then shall we meet the Lord? None of us who are still alive at this present moment can really know for sure the answer to that question. But what we do know for sure is that the Lord has told us that we are to occupy until He comes. That's what we're going to do. Who's going to join me? That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to occupy this foreign land that we're in until the Lord comes. Amen. And Coastline Baptist Church too. Our church. That's what we want our church to do. Occupy till He comes. Not just doing frivolous. Let's get a rock band. Have fun while there's time left. Eat, drink and be merry, because tomorrow you could all be dead. That's what we used to do in the unsaved people when the Cold War was on. Khrushchev was the leader of Russia. And, we were going to be dead tomorrow. We might as well all get drunk and have a good time. Thought it was a good time. A stupid time. But just waste our lives because we didn't know tomorrow we could be all dead. So that's how it was, back in those days. But anyhow, let's pray and close the service and we'll all go home, Thank you, Lord, for this short study in your word.